This morning, as we continue in the series, Jesus Over Everything, out of the book of Colossians, we're going to talk about a new life. I don't know about you guys, but there's days where sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I would like a new life starting today, you know, like thinking I want a redo or whatever, but those are usually days when I'm not doing what I should be doing. But when you think about, you know, our clothing, old clothes that we just can't turn loose of. How many of you guys got some old clothes that are, they're either number one, sentimental, right? Like I got this from somebody, I've had it since high school, whatever it is, like I keep it not because I wear it, but because I just can't turn loose of it. I got some stuff like that, but then I got those, like the medium shirts that one day I'm gonna fit back into. Some of those things, like they, like, I'm just going to be honest. I'm not ever going to fit into those medium shirts anymore. Because they keep making shirts smaller and smaller. But when you think about clothes that we don't want to let go of, sometimes these old T-shirts or jeans or something that you've been wearing for decades. Like my family told me that I needed to stop wearing the shorts that I was wearing a couple of summers ago. And I was like, what's wrong with these shorts? I've been wearing them for 15 years. And they're like, yeah. That's the problem. You've been wearing those same shorts for 15 years, but we think about these clothes that maybe we think are cool, but the people around us are like, no, they're not really that cool anymore. Most people just like to hang on to old stuff, you know, just in case, just for that special purpose, that time that I'm going to need it. But then sometimes we go through a stage in life where we kind of decide to change up our style a little bit. And if you change up your style a little bit, that old stuff just doesn't fit anymore. It just doesn't apply anymore. And it's kind of out of place with the new you and who you are going to be. It doesn't represent who you are now. And if that's the case, then there comes a time where you got to kind of let it go. We think about that in our spiritual walk as a Christian. You know, once we come to Christ and we get this new life, there's a lot of things in our lives that we kind of want to hang on to. I know that it's not good for me. I know it doesn't really fit, but I'm just going to keep it for later just in case I decide to go back to it. And we try to keep old junk around that's really out of place and it doesn't really fit with the new you. And we have to get to this place where we say it's time to let it go. And so this morning, as we look at what it looks like to have a new life, Paul tells us a few important things that we've got to do. And he tells us that there's something we've got to put to death. He tells us there's something we've got to put off, and then something else we've got to put on. And so you can think about this as like a spiritual changing of our clothes. And we're going to get into this morning in Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 2. Paul says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." He says, were you raised with Christ? It's something for us to consider. Are you born again? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you been changed by his Spirit? Have you made that confession that he is Lord? Have you expressed that outwardly with your actions through baptism, showing what has happened inside of you? If you haven't, today's your day to consider that. And if you have, then Paul says, then I've got something for you to do. And most of us are probably in that boat. So what do I got to do? He said that you need to seek those things which are above where Christ is. Had a conversation with somebody the other day, and I said, you know, there are times in our lives where it's almost like God is playing hide and seek with us, right? It's almost like, well, I remember that time when I could really feel his presence and I was really hearing from God when I was reading the word, and what is that that's changed, and why does it seem like God is holding himself back from me? It's not punishment if God is doing that to you. It's a testing. Will you continue to seek me? Will you continue to look for me? Will you continue to pursue me. And we're told by Paul that that's something that we're supposed to do, is to seek the things which are above. You think about that game, hide and seek, you're doing one of two things. In that game, you're either hiding or you're seeking. And if you're seeking, you're looking for who's hiding, right? Somebody's got to hide, otherwise that game doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's pretty easy. It's not very much fun. If somebody's hiding, what do? You go and look everywhere. You guys ever play hide and seek with like a little kid and you can almost be standing right in the middle of the room and they're just like, where are you at? You know, like you got to be hiding. If you're looking for somebody that you can't find, you begin to do what? You call their name, right? Hey, where are you? I can't find you. Hello, I've been looking for like 30 minutes. Where are you hiding at? You try to get them to reveal themselves to you, but that's at the time of your seeking, and you continue to look until you find them. Seeking requires something from us. It requires a search. It requires us to go looking. And Paul says that we are supposed to be on a search for the things above. Not just go about our business and just hope that God rains down blessing and favor and wisdom upon us. He says to go and seek it, to go and look for it, go and try to find it. And I love the way that Paul writes, because his stuff's really deep, and if you read through his stuff, you can always find, if he gives you a challenge, he will tell you how to do it. It's not just a, okay, well, that's great, I'll try to figure out what I'm supposed to do. He says there's a specific way that we are supposed to seek the things above. Verse 2, he says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. How do we seek? We set our mind on things above. Your mind is your compass in life, if you want to think about it that way. What you think about leads you to what you will do and where you will go. And he says, set your mind on the things above. Think about the things that Jesus thinks about. Think about heaven. Think about his plans. Think about his desires. Think about his ways. Think about how all of that affects your world and impacts your world. And if we're thinking about that, if our mind is set on heaven, then our mind is not set on the things of this world. I'm going to tell you what I don't worry about. I never worry about the things of heaven. I don't, right? And you probably don't either. And why is that? It's because we trust that he's got that all under control. What I worry about is the things of the earth. Because even though we know that God is omniscient and that we know that he's supreme over all, there's an element of this world that he doesn't control. He's given over that control, right? The enemy took that control in the garden, and so Satan is the ruler of this earth, right? Outside of Christ. If you belong to Christ, you belong to him, but everybody else belongs to the wicked one. The things of this world are still affected and impacted by the enemy, and so the things of this world give us a lot of worry and a lot of cause for concern. Because there's a lot of stuff that doesn't go the way that we want it to go until that day, Paul said, when Jesus comes back in glory and we'll be with him. Hallelujah. But if I'm thinking about the things of this world, I'm going to be brought to a place of worry and concern. But if my mind's fixed on the things of heaven, I'm not worried, I'm not concerned. And so when we think about the things that Jesus thinks about, right, I'm not saying to be negligent to the things of this world as far as ignoring your responsibilities, ignoring your family, ignoring your job, or all those things. But I'm saying that even in those areas of our lives, We've got to let the focus of eternity be the compass that leads us and guides us to where we're going to go. How am I going to love my family? How am I going to provide for them? How am I going to do at my job? How am I going to treat the people that I work with, or family, or people that I run into in the store? All of these things, how am I going to do that? With my mind set on the things that are above, with the vision of heaven and eternity being the compass that leads me and guides me. He says, if you've died to yourself, that your life is hidden in Christ. And if your life is hidden in Christ, then your wants and desires should line up with his. Because Paul said, he is our life. I don't know if you've ever made that kind of declaration before. Jesus is my life, right? He's not just a part of my life. Like, he is my life, because aside from him, I don't have life, right? Aside from him, we have only death spiritually and eternally. And so in the meantime, we've got to focus our attention on the things of God, because our natural tendency is going to be to focus on the things of this world that cause us to struggle and to worry and to fear. And that's going to be something that we battle until that day when we appear with him in glory and we will be as he is. But until then, Paul says we've got work to do. So we're going to set our mind on the things above, where Christ is. Then Paul gives us some instruction in verse 5. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He says, therefore, again, what's that? Therefore, it's got a reference back. Because you have died with Christ, and because you are setting your mind on the things above, you should put to death your members which are on the earth. I feel like this needs some further clarification, because we'll soon be announcing a members class for the church. And I just said to put to death your members. And we're not going to kill our members of the church, okay? Like, don't take me wrong here. This word members, he says, put to death your members here on the earth. This word members refers back to limbs of the body or members of the body, okay? Christ gave us an instruction about this back in Matthew chapter 5. Some of you will remember this. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members should perish than for the whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it's more profitable that one of your members should perish than your whole body be cast into hell. Jesus says this, and he says this not promoting us to actually cut off limbs of our body and pluck out our eyes. I'll tell you what, it'd be really hard to spread the gospel if we were all had our eyes plucked out and our hands and feet cut off. And I mean, I don't know how many people would want to join that kind of group. So we don't take this literally, but think about what he's saying overall, that it would be better for you to not have those things in your life than to be led by the sin that they cause you to do. He said this in an open-air sermon, right? The Sermon on the Mount to everybody. And while Jesus said this to everybody, Paul kind of redefines it a little bit for the church, and he says the things that belong to the body, we are to put to death. If it belongs to the body, it doesn't belong in heaven, and it's to be put to death. Again, don't take that literally, but putting it to death means to deprive it of power, right? Deprive it of power and destroy its strength. How can you put to death the body, the physical body, if you continue to deprive it, right, of the things that it needs to live, you deprive it of food and water and exercise and movement and all those things, it will slowly die. And he says we've got to deprive these things of the body from their power and destroy their strength. Put them to death. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Deprive them of their power, and doing that destroys the strength that they have. Stop feeding those things in our lives. Amen? This is what Paul is telling us. Stop feeding those things. They relate to the members of the body because they are the sins that the body, the flesh, desires. They're things that feel good, but they're things that have consequences. Spiritually and naturally, these things have consequences in our life. And it says that they're targets of God's wrath. And if you're in Christ, you don't live in those things anymore. That's not where you dwell. That's not where you belong. That's not the things that lead and guide your life. You've got to put them to death. You've got to cut them off. They don't belong to you. Not if your mind is set on the things above. Those things belong to a dead man. Those things belong to the old you, and it's up to you to stop giving them power and strength. Stop trying to give life to something that is dead. You got to cut them off. Verse 8, he goes on a little bit further, and he says, but you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you've put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Paul says it's not just putting to death those fleshly desires, those things that belong to the body, but then he says you yourself, you have responsibility yourself to put something off. Who's got the responsibility? We do. That's for each and every one of us. You yourself. That means somebody's not doing it for you. And somebody needs to hear this morning. That also means that you're not doing it for somebody else. You can't do it. You can't do it for somebody else. You yourself are responsible for your life and your actions. And Paul says you yourself are to put these things off. You yourself are to put these things off. I don't know if you're catching Paul's drift here, but it's not a suggestion. He says you yourself are to put these things off. That's a command. It's something you are to do. Put it off. It's literally like taking off clothing, right? He says put it off. That's what that means, to take off clothes. These are clothes that no longer go with the new man. These are clothes that don't jive with the life of the new man in Christ. They're clothes that should be uncomfortable to you. They're clothes that you should desire to put off, and that you should take the action of actually putting them off. Last night, Christy and I went to a friend's 40th birthday party, and it was we were supposed to wear formal attire. Now, if you guys don't already realize this, I don't wear formal attire. I don't like it. I did it for like 1 year. First year of ministry, I wore a suit every week. And then I had the realization that nobody else wore suits, and why am I wearing a suit? And so I didn't wear one, and a lot of people were like, wow, that's great. It's more comfortable. It feels more relatable, not like you're up here and we're down here. And I was like, good, because I'm not. I'm not up here and you're down here. We're all in the same place, okay? But I don't wear formal attire. You'll see me in formal attire at funerals and weddings, and now apparently birthday parties, but that's where I'm drawing the line, okay? It's probably a one-time deal. If you have a birthday party with formal attire, I'm not doing it. All right? Just cross it off your list. But I wore these dress pants and a button-up shirt, and I wore a sport coat. I did all that stuff. Had to hold in my stomach a little bit because I haven't wore that sport coat in a while. But when I got home, I'm going to tell you what. I could not wait to get those clothes off. I mean, I was like shredding that stuff as soon as I started walking through the door. I'm like, coat's off. Can't wait to get that. I took that shirt and I like launched it across the room at the hamper. I was like, I feel free. Hallelujah. This is great. This is the best I've felt all day now that I got this stuff off. Why did I want that off so bad? Because I was uncomfortable in it, because that's not me. I'm not a dress-up kind of guy. I never have been. I don't have any sense of style. I'll wear the same pair of jeans and a plain gray t-shirt every day of the week and be completely fine with it. I have 6 of the same gray t-shirt in the closet, and that's my favorite shirt to wear. You know, I just pull it off, put it on, no thought. I'm just a plain kind of guy. I was so uncomfortable, I couldn't wait to take it off because I'm like, that's not me. That doesn't represent who I am. And when I took that off, I put it off, right? I was back to being me, being myself. And so what about us when it comes to our spiritual lives? What are the things that we're wearing that are uncomfortable, that are dead in Christ, that we ought to be putting off, those clothes that belong to the old man? Paul says put them off. And not only does he say put them off, but he doesn't allow us to be selective as far as which ones we put off, because he said put off all these. Put off all these. Not the ones you don't like, not the ones that you're uncomfortable with, but put off all these. If you're wearing them, put them off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and lies. He says, put them off. They don't belong to you anymore, because those are characteristics of the dead man. If you're in Christ, you are a new man. You're living a new life, and you need a new wardrobe to match. If you put off the old man, why are you still wearing his clothes? Why are we still wearing his clothes? Why are we still dressing like somebody who we're not anymore? Because you should outgrow those things, spiritually speaking. You should outgrow them. If you're not outgrowing them, it's probably because you're refusing to put them off. Right? All these things take time. We're in the process of sanctification. You don't just become perfect the day that you're saved, but I'll tell you what, if you don't choose to put those things off, don't be surprised when you're still wearing them. That's a point we got to come to in our lives. We got to outgrow them, spiritually speaking, and realize they don't fit anymore. And I'm going to tell you what, when we're born again and we proclaim Jesus as Lord and I'm a follower of Christ and I'm a Christian, all these things, and we refuse to put those things off, we go around with anger and malice and wrath and cussing and doing all this stuff in our lives, I'm going to tell you what you look like. You look silly. It really looks silly. It'd be like me up here wearing some like studded collar and chains, you know, hanging from my jacket or something. Like, that's not me. That's somebody else, and maybe they look good in that. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't, because it's not me. I would look silly like that. You know, there's this saying, you guys have probably heard it and maybe even said it, but dress for the job you want and not for the job that you have. You guys ever heard that before? I'm going to tell you what, when you apply that correctly, that can be a good phrase. But if you desire to be a police officer, please do not walk around wearing a police officer's uniform, right? Carrying a gun and, you know, some badge you got off of Amazon. That has to be applied properly. And I think we use that phrase a lot in times where it really, like, it doesn't really matter what you wear, you know? But I got a better line for you that kind of takes that a little bit further. Instead of dressing for the job you want, not the job you have, how about you dress like a new man and not a dead one? How about we say, you know what, I'm going to dress like a new man. I'm going to look like Christ, not a dead man, not who I used to be, not who I once was. I'm going to put that stuff off. I'm going to dress like the man that I am and not the man that I was, because he's been put to death. Paul goes on to say, this is the good news for you people who are tired of being hammered. This is the good news. Verse 12, he goes on to say, therefore, in light of all this stuff, putting to death the things of the flesh, putting off these things that are not of God, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. He says to you, if you have been raised with Christ, if you have died to the old man, then you are elect and holy and beloved. You, as that man, as one who God has chosen, Jesus has chosen you, you are set apart, you are favored and loved by God. As that man, with that identity, he says, now you got to put something on. Put on the clothes that he has given for you. Put on these tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility, put on meekness, and put on long-suffering or patience. And he says that we've got to bear with one another and forgive one another. He says to do all these things. Why? Because that's what Jesus looks like. That's what he looks like. That's the uniform of a Christian, is to look like Christ. Amen? That's the uniform. What's a uniform for? What's the purpose of a uniform? It gives you some semblance of an identity. This is who I am. You see somebody wearing a certain uniform, you know who they are, at least where they work, what company they belong to, right? You know that they have to have some kind of unity and goals and objective regarding that particular place. And for us, when we put on these things, we have a new uniform. But our uniformity comes by the Holy Spirit. It comes by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that makes it possible for you and I to walk in those characteristics. You might be like me and look at that list and be like, I don't have half of those things. How am I supposed to just put them on and just do it? It's by the Spirit of the living God. He gives us the ability to walk in those characteristics of Christ. Listen, we're not just to try it on. It's not. You're not in a changing room like, I don't like the way this looks in the mirror, right? This makes me look a little weird or something. Listen, it's not about trying it on. It's about putting them on and keeping them on, because that's who you are now, new in Christ Jesus. And he says, above all those things, listen, if you're only going to focus on one, it comes back to one thing, and he says, above them all, put on love. Put on love. You know why? This is where it all begins. This is where it all flows through. It's what we talked about last week, loving Jesus. Forget about the legalism, and this is not Paul bringing us back to legalism. It's still not about checks and balances and all this stuff. It's just about loving Jesus. But if you do, then you are a new man. And so stop giving the old man life, okay? It's not about legalism. It's just telling you how you get to the place that God wants you to go. We've got to love, because this is where it begins and what it flows through. When you think about getting ready and getting all dressed up, I don't know what guys do last, because we just do it all in like a minute. You know, maybe if you're going to a wedding, maybe cufflinks or something is the thing that finishes off the you know, the look. For women, it's usually earrings. Usually when Christy's ready, she comes out with earrings, and she's like, which one? And so when we think about these things that we put on to kind of finish the look, finish the outfit, I think that there's times where we mistakenly confuse love with that thing that brings the finishing touch to the way that we look. But I'm going to tell you what love is. Love is not the finishing touch. It's not the cufflinks or the earrings or any of that stuff. Love is the underwear. You guys realize that? Love is the underwear, okay? You got to start with it. You put that on first. You put it on last, it looks ridiculous. You put it on first. Begin with love. You start with love. It's got to be underneath all the rest of the stuff or it looks dumb, right? It's the basis for all the rest of it. And if you don't wear it, you might still look good outside, but something's not right. Right? Something's not right with you if you're not wearing it, okay? It's not right. Put to death the old man, put off his ways, and put on Christ's ways, starting with love. Starting with love and allowing the Spirit to work in all those other ways in our lives that we put them on. Now, Paul tells us that if we do all of this, that there's a great result that we can expect. Verse 15, he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Who wants peace to rule in their heart? I mean, I want it to rule. I want it to be king in there, peace. A lot of people spend their whole life looking for peace, and I'll tell you, you won't find it outside of Christ. And what Paul tells us here is that the peace of God rules when we let it. The peace of God will rule when we let it. When we think about this struggle that we go through, right? Our flesh and our spirit, and how they're constantly at war, right? What I want and what God wants are in opposition just by nature, by the sin nature, and right caught in the middle of that is our soul, right? Our mind, our will, our emotions. And there's a way that peace enters and rules in the heart, okay? The heart is synonymous with the soul in the New Testament, in the Scripture. The heart is synonymous with soul. So how do we get this peace to rule in our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions? Paul tells us it's pretty clear. We choose to put off the things of the body and to put on the things of the Spirit. It requires us submitting our wants, our desires, our feelings, our thoughts to the perfect Spirit of God. And when we do that, when the soul submits to the Spirit, the body falls in line and submits to the soul. And this is where we find ourselves with the peace of God ruling in our hearts. Listen, not just showing up from time to time, ruling in our hearts, having reign, having control. It all comes back to what's our mindset on. Is it set on the things above where Christ is? Because Paul says if we do that, the end result, you get down to the back. For those of you who like to read the first chapter and the last chapter, set your mind on the things of Christ, and then you come down to the end, and peace will rule in your heart. And it also says that out of that will flow thanksgiving. And that from there, we are to keep going back to the word and to worship of the one who is faithful and true, the one who is holy and mighty, the one who is worthy of it all. And his name is Jesus. Amen? Verse 17, he wraps it up with this verse that you've probably quoted at some point in your life. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Church, this is what it means to have a new life. The old man does everything for himself, right? Selfish ambitions and desires, which Paul tells us in Philippians to not have those, and that selfishness. The old man does everything for himself, but when that old man is put to death, and we put off the world and we put on Christ, now we're a man or woman who lives our lives with everything we do, doing it in the name of the Lord. Doing it in the name of the Lord. What he says and what he does, that kind of man, they speak Jesus to the world around them. The things that we do are done in love, and you have a heart that is set on the things above, the things that last. And so today is the day, church, where we consider and we think about the fact, have we put to death those things of the flesh, those desires, those things that, listen, sometimes the world says it's okay, but the scripture says it's not. You know what that means? That means it's not. And we're to put those things to death. It also says that we're to put those things off, those character qualities of the old man, of the sinful person. We're to put those off and we're to put on the things of Christ. Listen, it's not about layering here, church. It's not about taking off the sin and then later putting it back on and just trying to put the righteousness of Christ over it, right? You can't hide sin. Jesus knows it all. It's not about layering. It's put off, then put on. Not just pile on top of it. We've got to put on Christ. We've got to come to this place of Jesus over everything and truly receiving the new life that he has for us. Amen.